This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is The Property Show. It has just turned 9:37 in the morning and I am Ibrahim Sani. This morning, I have a very interesting chap joining me in the studio, Shami R. Sounds like an artist kind of name.
Oh, thank you.
And he's from the Prevent Crime Now organization and he is a self-styled crime safety specialist. So welcome to the show, Shami.
Thank you so much, Ibrahim, for having me this morning.
All right, so let's talk about the things that revolves around neighborhoods in Malaysia, and that is safety and the need for us to ensure that our neighborhoods are safe all the time. Yep. One thing that we need to look at is the safety of township using this thing called the Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design Methods, or CPTED, if I'm mistaken.
SEPTED.
SEPTED, all right. So before we jump into that, let's talk about the Prevent Crime Now organization, what you do, what you stand for.
Okay, Prevent Crime Now, basically, what we do at Prevent Crime Now is we do crime safety consultancy. We go into the nitty-gritty details of crime and we look at it from a criminal's point of view and we come up with the most practical solution ever.
So you're a criminal yourself?
No. No, but all this is done through very thorough on-ground research. You know, the Turun Padang method, we go down, we learn at the streets what goes on there, and then we try to apply it to the whole prevention of crime. We are not there to catch criminals. That's not our job. That's up to the police. We are here to prevent you from becoming victims in any sort of way. So we look into snatch theft, property theft, and one of the things we look into is actually property safety. But it's not as far as providing security guards. That's not what we do again. It's looking into the safety of the environment and the residents.
This organization is a new organization or you've been around for some time?
We've been doing this for about this. We started in 2010, actually. We just rebranded to Prevent Crime Now. We were called Kick Out before this. So we've just rebranded ourselves.
So why was this created? What was the impetus that made this happen?
It is actually because at the end of the day, I think all of us would like to grow up in a society where we can bring our children up in a very safe society. We want to be able to tell our kids, you want to go padang? Go. Why do I have to follow you? Go yourself, yeah. You know?
And that has happened with me. I can't even let my children go out. And the padang is in front of my house,
oh,
mind
no.
You. Yeah. It's just that the very notion that I will never forgive myself if I let my children out and something happens
to them.
Well, I'll play with my phone or whatever. I'll talk to my neighbors as long as I'm out there and I can see them within eye distance.
I guess that's a very frequent concern which almost everybody has.
Yeah. And it's 2016, right? when I was growing up in the 80s, I don't remember my parents having the need or they don't feel that insecure the way I do.
You know, I agree with you. And my parents didn't feel the same. My parents felt the same way.
So let's focus on the step that method, which is focusing on the layout of the neighborhoods themselves. Was this something that the Prevent Crime Now created? Or?
Oh, no, actually, no. It's actually a foreign concept and it's been proven to work overseas. In a nutshell, what crime prevention through environmental design is that it's, by theory, it says that the design and the layout of the neighborhood is actually what prevents crime. A gated and guarded neighborhood is yesterday's form of security.
Okay.
So, you know, most of the time when we go to property expos, we see, oh, gated and guarded, that's what we look out for. But we forget that this is yesterday's form of security. It's outdated. You know, there are about, in 2014, statistics, there were about 350 reported cases a day. This is according to GDP. And out of that, 80% of that is property crime. So, but gated and guarded neighborhoods have been here for about 10, 15 years. Why is crime still so high? It's because we have not implemented SEPTED, which could be as simple as, let's say you're walking in your neighborhood and snatch theft happens very often in your neighborhood. One way to prevent snatch theft is actually would be the layout of how big your walkway is. And is there any form of barrier or maybe some form of bushes to prevent snatch theft from happening? Simple concepts as that. Lighting will be another thing as well.
The layout or the very conception of a neighborhood design plays a very important role in ensuring security.
It does.
So what are the three or four things that helps in the design? Would circular kind of design of a neighborhood would be better?
Yes and no. You see, actually, the town plan department has actually come up with a whole module on SEPTED, which has been implemented since 2004. Certain towns have picked it up since 2011. But here's the thing. There is still a lot of crime happening because of the lack of knowledge on the implementation of it. A lot of places have hired security consultants, which when we look at it, gives you a security point of view. We give you a criminal's point of view. And that's why we say, you know, every neighborhood is unique in its own way. There is no such thing as, okay, these are the guidelines. every neighborhood has to be like this. It will never work. We have to look at the surrounding, at the demographics. What kind of crowd are we expecting? Just say you're staying in Section 1. We have to look what's going on in Section 2. We have to make sure crime over there doesn't seep in. When we talk about the layout, well, what could be a good example would be lighting. You see, lighting, a lot of places, as they want to make it as bright as possible. So what they get these very bright LED spotlights. That should not be the case. You should not be spotlighting the light. It should illuminate the whole area, not spotlight the thing. Because then what happens is that these criminals, they sit down and lurk in the dark, but they can see every move you make. For another thing would be when you're talking about maybe your park where your kids are going and playing. The last thing you'll want is actually to put a fence around that park. Because what happens then is the minute these crooks start going in, they build their territory in that park. So, you know, some places they will say, okay, now we put a fence so we prevent outsiders from coming in.
Yeah.
But that's the wrong method, because the minute these guys go in, it's difficult to get them out because they have built their territory around it. You have put up the walls for them. So the best thing is to leave it as open as possible. And in fact, the design of the house plays a very big factor. If your house is right in front of the park, I just would like to know, can you actually see the park from your master bedroom?
No, there's trees and there's also...
That's another big factor because of all of these things. As much as we like to, you know, move towards green technology and, you know, make the whole park green and nice, we keep forgetting the type of plants we plant is a big factor as well. That's how detailed this thing goes into. If the trees are too big, it's not a good thing. It's good for the environment, but it's not good for your kids.
Okay, all right. I guess the selection of choices of trees would play important.
It plays a big role.
Knowing these things, and do you get involved in the town planning of, say, neighbourhoods in Malaysia? Do you get in touch with the city councillors? Do you get in touch with the police, for instance?
Yes. In fact, the PDRM, you know, as much as people would like to think that the PDRM doesn't involve people outside of the enforcement agency, they do. We have been invited on a few occasions to sit down and explain SEPTED in a bit more detail to them. The town plan department has recently consulted with us on a few issues, as also as some of the... Majlis Perbandaran have gotten involved as well. So we are working on some things with them. And we are seeing how can we make the general area a bit safer. But again, when it comes to a neighbourhood, you're gated and guarded, that's when Majlis Perbandaran cannot simply go in. Because, you know, you've got all these rules and regulations and all, and residents don't simply let outsiders come in. So it comes down to the developers at the end of the day. Our encounters with the developers, probably not as positive as we'd like to think. Because, you know, most developers think that, okay, now fine, my neighborhood is gated and guarded, you know, people are happy, that's fine. And that's probably because that most potential buyers do not understand that gated and guarded is not good enough. Let's take a gated and guarded neighborhood, for example.
Yeah.
If I'm buying a gated and guarded neighborhood today, what really defines a gated and guarded neighborhood? Sometimes you get complaints from some buyers, and this is Shami, you know, I went and bought a gated and guarded neighborhood, and when I went there, I think, you know, the fence, perimeter fencing is just a normal fence, it's not even a wall. And, you know, it's only about 5 feet high. 5 feet is no good. It should at least be 8 feet. And then, the security guards are there, okay, but the guard house is just an aluminium, you know, you've got this aluminium
containers
kind of thing. You know. So when a buyer buys a house, he needs to ask, what is your definition of a gated and guarded community?
Mm.
And can you how well can you guarantee me that this is going to be effective? And the answer is, how well is it effective? It's never going to be effective. So that's where SEPTED comes in. So when we spoke to some developers, they say, oh no, people still want gated and guarded. It's because people don't know that gated and guarded is outdated. And some other developers which we've spoken to say, no, it's okay, we've got our security consultants. And when we said, you know, yes, you've had your security consultants have been doing this work, would you, and yet your neighborhood, there's a lot of crime happening in your neighborhood, don't you think it's time for a change? They themselves have not really heard of the concept.
I'm speaking to Shami R from Prevent Crime Now, and this morning we're talking about the safety of neighborhoods and how we can inculcate SEPTED, which is an upgrade of it's like a gated and guarded 2.0 kind of thing. Shami, we've spoken at length about some of the benefits of SEPTED. And right now, the problem with gated and guarded is that we don't know what constitutes a proper gated and guarded community.
Yes.
Then there's also you know, neighborhoods that started off with an open concept, which is not gated and guarded, and they try to get themselves gated and guarded right now.
Yes.
And the process, however, can be cumbersome. In fact, if I can speak from my own experience, trying to get a rep from my neighborhood to talk to the Majlis Perbandaran or the local councillors can be tormenting for everyone involved.
yes, it can.
And is this a normal process? I'm trying to figure out, is life meant to be this hard?
It is actually a normal process. Because here's the thing. When you look at it, there are actually a lot of rules and regulations before you can make a gated and guarded neighborhood. Seeing that yours has not been a gated and guarded neighborhood, they have to look at many factors. Does your housing area connect to a main road? If it is, and then it's going to restrict public access, you cannot do that. Does it connect maybe to a public place of worship? If yes, then again, you cannot do that. Does it connect to a public school? If yes, then you cannot have a gated and guarded neighborhood because you're restricting public access to public places.
We can't be selfish. We can't block off access, public road and so on.
Yeah.
There is also a need for us to be a little bit selfish and ensure that the safety of our homes is paramount. And this is the reason why many neighborhoods in Malaysia, they have to employ private security companies, and they themselves can be quite useful early on, but they can be questionable later on in their tenorship or in servicing their contract. Is hiring private security firms worth it and worthwhile to explore for neighborhoods?
Yes and no. At the end of the day, we have to see what kind of security we are hiring. The reason why I said no also is because sometimes when we hire security, as residents, we ourselves do not respect them. So it beats the whole purpose of it. We've seen neighborhoods where when we went and did some, when we've done consultancy for some neighborhoods, and then when we spoke to security guards, I asked, why is it that people can just go in and go out so easily? He said, you know, when we don't let the guests go in and we insist that they register, the residents call and make noise. So we have to let them in. So there are always going to be one or two residents who would like that security but want to be above that. So that's where one big problem
is. So the residents are making life hard for the security guards?
They mainly do.
And this is always the case. In fact, the security guards in my housing area also complain about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Speed, for instance, of opening the boom gate, that could be a big problem for them. Even when they stop and ask something, that's going to be a big problem for other residences that might not want that kind of delay.
Exactly.
How do we solve this? Is there a way to solve this?
I guess it's one thing is, I think everybody has to come to consensus that look, this is the process, this is what we've agreed on. Nobody go, there is no leeway for anybody. It doesn't matter, you can be the RA president, no such thing. Rules are rules.
So what's next for Prevent Crime Now in 2016? What if public wants to join in, can they do so?
We actually do a lot of crime prevention workshops for general street crime. But in terms of property, we look forward to working with more of the local authorities and local Majlis Perbandarans to ensuring the general safety of all the streets around here. But we also would look forward to working to any developers. No developer can say, I've implemented SEPTED. And we've not seen anybody openly say, look, I've implemented SEPTED and I have somebody to certify that I've implemented SEPTED.
Yeah.
And we can do that. And we would love to work with any developer if they would like to enhance the value of their property.
All right. Mm. Sounds fantastic. I've been speaking to Shami, Crime Safety Specialist of Prevent Crime. Now, Shami, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Ibrahim. It's a pleasure being here today.
And up next, we'll be speaking with Alia Omar, a PhD candidate in building design, to understand better how our buildings work. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. I am Ibrahim Sani, and you are listening to The Property Show. We are about 10 minutes away from the top of the hour. Right now in the studio with me is Alia Omar, a PhD candidate in building design. So Alia, this week, if you don't mind, let's talk a little bit more about the Green Building Index. It's the so-called standard bearer of providing green building technology in Malaysia. How are we faring against GBI?
Well, as of January 2016, it says here that we have 171 non-residential new construction buildings which have achieved GBI certification.
So this is basically commercial buildings?
Yes, commercial.
Office buildings?
Office. Residential, we have 139 that has been certified.
Okay, so is that a lot?
It's getting there. It's getting there. I'm hopeful.
I'm assuming all these green buildings are located in KL?
Interestingly, the highest number was given to Selangor, second KL, and thirdly Penang.
How does one get GBI accreditation?
Well, you need to approach a facilitator even before construction. So they have to look at your master plan, what you intend for your building. They have to know everything from day one. And then even after your building's completed, they still have to come back and do checks. Even after people start living in it, using the building, they will be coming in for post-occupancy tests and surveys.
Okay, but why is there a need for us to have this accreditation?
There is this thing called greenwashing, where you make a building look green, but it's not. Well, that has been happening quite a lot. I see a huge need for actual facilitators to come in and check what you're doing just to make sure that you're not promoting the wrong thing. You know, you have to have a good example at how your building works rather than just looking the part.
On the topic of providing great comfort to the occupants of those buildings, the users of those buildings, we have to balance between aesthetics and practicality of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, in their minds, I think they want to have this glass and steel kind of look. Do you think this works well in Malaysia?
No. Honestly, no, that it doesn't work well. There's a lot of things that you can do to make it work, but it will be very, very costly. There are,
making it green.
You have to have a sort of barrier before the glass that you can control, so that you don't let in too much sunlight that would overheat your buildings. Greenery can help, but I'm not sure how it could help on, let's say, a skyscraper scale. It's not cheap. Definitely, it's not cheap. Usually in the urban setting, in order for you to build a green building, we rely quite heavily on high-tech materials and equipments. So those are never cheap unless it's common, which it's not yet in Malaysia. Even the clear solar cells, they're still in the experiment stage, but it would be interesting to see what it can do.
And this is The Property Show. I am Ibrahim Sani, and this morning I am speaking to Alia Omar, a PhD student in building technology. That is the discipline of blending architecture and engineering into one. I think the main problem that you want to solve right now is providing the greatest comfort to occupants. We've spoken a lot about the visual aspect of providing occupancy comfort. We spoke about thermal aspect, which is really the biggest problem that we have in this country, at least. Things are really getting hot now. I think the biggest solution to tie up all these things that we've been speaking about is, where do we go to?
When I mentioned GBI, the Green Building Index, well, this rating system concerns project teams, building owners, developers, contractors, and the government. So it's a whole group of different people who are concerned about the same thing. And they do have workshops and seminars and training sessions, so anyone could just go in and learn more. Since we have a lot of completed projects already, we know that we already have experts in Malaysia in this field, so there are people that you can come and visit, look at your site, talk about what you want to achieve and how to achieve it. There's quite a lot of people that you can talk to nowadays. Ideally, I would want my research to reach a point where people would use it as a guideline to design their walls, because that's where my expertise is currently. I would imagine that it would be included in future building standards.
So in this research that you've done, and with the knowledge that you have, this cost of building these kind of technology right now, it's not mass-produced yet. The materials that we provide isn't that great. And we know that green technology materials aren't that cheap either.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a payback period if you invest in building these, well, relatively more expensive green buildings?
It's a daunting 7 or 10 years payback period that you have to invest in before you actually can feel the savings coming in.
Okay, this 7 to 10 years was provided by...
This is just a quick market survey where I looked at solar panels water harvesting systems and also electricity monitors that you can just plug into your house. So these devices actually cost a lot, but within 5 to 10 years, 7 maybe, you can get your money back and start earning savings.
Does the government make it easier for residential property owners to actually install these kind of technology, the solar panels and these electric sockets that you mentioned?
Interestingly, I found that when you install solar panels, which actually costs 60,000 ringgit and above, you can actually have what they call a feed-in tariff, where TNB will pay you to generate electricity.
And anyone can do this?
Anyone can do this. You just need to approach them and ask how.
All right, you mean TNB?
Yeah.
Okay. There's another element other than solar panel you were mentioning just now about water.
Water harvesting doesn't give you as much money. It costs maybe between 1,500 ringgit to 10,000 ringgit, depending on how complicated the system is. It doesn't save you as much because we don't pay a lot for water, but it can help reduce the demand and overcome, you know, the water shortages that we've been experiencing.
But how realistic is it for us to... I can imagine the solar panels being rolled out en masse at a realistic level, but is it realistic to see water harvesting technology being rolled out at that level, at that mass production level?
There's not much incentive for people to use it. So it's not quite popular until I think a bigger crisis probably hits Malaysia, then people would start getting desperate, then maybe, yes. Until we stop having cheap water, I don't think it's going to be so interesting to people.
I've been speaking to Alia Omar, the PhD student in building technology. You are listening to The Property Show. And now we have a listing for this week. If you're looking to invest, here is a property launch currently listed on iProperty.com that may interest you. The property is listed in Ipoh. It's called the Ipoh South Precinct. It's been developed by Team Keris Berhad. The property type is a township consisting of landed properties, high-rise and other buildings. The price of the property begins from 291,000 ringgit and the size of the property starts from 1,012 square feet onwards. The property is freehold. And that's it for this week on The Property Show. Join us again next week where we will go through some of the more pertinent issues in the real estate market. Every Friday at 9:30 a.m. after the news. If you've missed out on any part of this interview, just head on to bfm.my and search for The Property Show. I am Ibrahim Sani, and news is coming up at 10. You are listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.